Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you guys are all well on your Sunday morning. On this week's show, we'll be looking back, of course, at yesterday's excellent 2-2 draw over at Portsmouth. The Addicts grabbing a late point to ensure that our not losing streak at Grattan Park continues. It's just getting a bit weird now, isn't it? Like, it's literally impossible for us to lose at Grattan Park. Hopefully it will never end. Joining me on the show to look back at yesterday's game, first up, top right, Mr. Lewis Catt. How you doing, Lou? How did you enjoy yesterday?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Thank you. It wasn't bad, was it? It was good fun.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good day out. And on the bottom of the screen there is Ben Clegg. How are you getting on, Ben? I'd love to have seen the scenes when that last minute goal went in at your house, the celebrations.
Oh, I was introducing your daughter, mate, to last minute celebrations. She's not used to that supporting Charlton. So yeah, she loved it. Great scenes. Conor McGrandinho, eh? Who would have thought it?
Yeah, well, we'll hear from Conor McGrandinho later on in the show. Yeah, my little daughter and my wife were watching the game round with Ben and his wife yesterday. And I can only imagine what she made of that last-minute goal, having no idea what's going on. So on today's show, we're going to hear the goals from the game. We're going to hear, of course, from Michael Appleton. And we will hear from the goal scorer, Conor McGrandall. Spoke to him after yesterday's game. We want to hear from you guys as well. Good morning to everyone in the chat. Loads of you already in there. Sam's in there. Charlton fan pointing out that we never lose at Fratton Park. Paul saying, happy Sunday, Jake. Shiny Phil. Alex Gleeson saw me in Tesco Cafe before the game yesterday. I do live the highlight before the game. Yeah, it was good to see you in there yesterday. Keith was in there, Jason, Stuart, Michael in the chat. A bit of vinyl saying, is everyone still buzzing? I certainly am after yesterday's game. It's one of those days where I was coming away from it thinking, you know what, I really, really enjoyed that. Proper atmosphere at a proper ground. You know, a good performance, a battling performance. Maybe we rode our luck a little bit at times, but, you know, a last-minute equaliser, you can't ask for much more than that from an away day. Later on in the show, we're going to be joined by our guest fan, Stuart Court, who you may know better as CFC Facts and Stats on Twitter. He's going to join us as this week's guest fan. I'm sure he'll have some interesting stats on yesterday's game for us. If we get a little bit of time at the end, we will look ahead to Cray on Wednesday. We've got to take ourselves back to that. Unfortunately, we will end a couple of minutes early, of course. It's Remembrance Sunday, so I know people won't want us online at 11 o'clock when the minute silence is happening. So we'll end a couple of minutes early. Lewis, before we hear the goals, that was a fun one yesterday. How would you sum that game up?
It was bonkers, wasn't it? I mean, the whole thing. It was really, really good, entertaining, end-to-end football. I remember standing with my mate Peacock. And the first half, we were looking at it and we were like, what a game of football this is. Like, this is great. It was really entertaining. As you say, great atmosphere, really, really loud inside Fratton Park from both home and away fans. Felt like a proper football match, didn't it? A proper atmosphere, a proper game. A really well-contested battle in League One. Probably a really good advert for League One, which is probably something we can't label ourselves with too often. All in all, I thought it was a great game. I thought we showed some really, really good character to come from behind twice. And I thought we played fairly well on the whole. There were a few moments, but, you know, you're playing top of the league unbeaten and you're taking a point after going behind twice. You can't really complain. So, yeah, I was really happy yesterday. A little bit gutted, if I'm being overly critical, that we didn't win it at the end, because I thought that would have been the real cherry on top. It would have been absolutely ridiculous. I don't know where I'd have ended up in that stand if we'd have managed to score and Dobbo managed to square that ball to Scotty Fraser. But, you know, look, you take the point all day long because, you know, they're flying at the moment, and it keeps that Fratton Park curse going for Pompey, which is great.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. But it almost felt like the headlines were getting ready to write themselves when Dobbo was bearing down on goal on the right-hand side. But I think the effort he put in over the 90 minutes, he just ran out of puff and a heavy touch. But that could have been something incredible. But it was still a great day yesterday at Fratton Park. Let's have a listen back to the goals. From Charlton TV, your commentators, as always, were Terry Smith and Greg Stubley.
Apply the pressure as the corner comes in towards Bishop. Hector with a good header away and the shot comes back in from Kamara. It's a wonderful finish. Maynard Brewer had no chance. And Portsmouth are ahead.
Yeah, Maynard Brewer, nothing he could do about that. Cleared away by Jones, dropping ball. Kamara met it perfectly. And in the only spot Maynard Brewer couldn't get to.
Ball up to Leeburn. Just got it caught in his feet, but Dobson retrieves the situation. Then Leeburn again, out to Louis Watson. Alfie May on the right-hand touchline. Sends Louis Watson away ahead of him. Watson reverses it back into May. Can he get it under control? He can. Drills it. Oh, he scored! Alfie May has drilled it through the goalkeeper. Who I think was expecting the cross shot. It went through the keeper and into the net. And the Addicts have equalised.
Of course, it's the player of the month. Alfie May. He just gets there through pure endeavour. It's a lovely ball down the line to Louis Watson, who just puts it in an area for May to give chase, which he does, and he just continues his run. He just hits it low. It takes a deflection beyond the goalkeeper, and Charlton have equalised.
Maynard Brewer. And there's a ball sent into the penalty area again. Oh, this time it might be a penalty. And it is. Maynard Brewer have performed heroics in this game, but now will be seen as the villain of the piece as he comes steaming out, takes out Paddy Lane. Penalty to Portsmouth.
Doesn't need to do it, Tell. He's been outstanding today, Ashley Maynard Brewer.
Colby Bishop. Strikes it and scores.
Yeah, that's calmness from Colby Bishop. Charlton be furious. Had a chance just before that, but Maynard Brewer kept
green
out.
Support. Fraser looking for an option. One of those is Teo Edden in the middle. Teo Edden now swings it across. McGrandles is there, gets a header in, near post, and he scores! Conor McGrandles has equalised for John at the near post. It looked an impossible angle. Conor McGrandles has brought us back level again.
The place has gone stunned. Everyone's stunned, Teo.
Me and all.
How has that crept in?
I have
it's
no
a wonderful
idea.
Run from McGrandles at the far post. Edden with the ball in. McGrandles just does well to get his head and heads it low towards the near post. Norris dives and just gets underneath it. And Charlton a level through Conor McGrandles, his first Charlton goal. He couldn't even believe it till when that went in. He didn't know what to do.
There we go. Excellent commentary, as always, from the boys there, especially of that last-minute equaliser for Conor McGrandles. I'm enjoying the nickname that Will Norris has got on the Charlton Life Forum already, Near Post Norris, Ben, because, I mean, if anyone... I'm always very wary about, you know, you've got to be respectful of your position, don't take the mick and that sort of stuff. But when he did what he did... when Alfie May went near him, I think he fully deserved any criticism he gets and any nickname like Near Post Norris after letting in two very poor goals at his near post, including one, that one from Conor McGrandles at the end. I mean, it was a great moment. It really was a great moment for him, for the player, and especially for those fans behind the goal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what a plonker. He was already down claiming injury before that and then got up. And May, I mean, you watch it on the replay, which I was watching at the time. I mean, he just brushes his foot and what a stupid reaction from him. And yeah, near post Norris. Better than nervous Norris, isn't it? but yeah, no, I mean, what a game. To review the game, I came away and I tweeted at the end that we didn't deserve it because, it's hard to make out, isn't it? Our goalkeeper was our best player, but he made a massive error to make us go 2-1 down. But if he wasn't so great, then we wouldn't have been in the game in the first place. So you're half annoyed with him because it was such a bad error and he just put his head down and walked back to the goal. But also you're like, wow, but if we didn't have you, we wouldn't have been in this game. But then we had a massive penalty shout as well, didn't we? Which I can't believe the ref didn't see standing there. I'm sure we'll come to it. But as Lewis said earlier, such great character to come back against the best side I've seen this season. I think they play with confidence. They pass the ball around well. One criticism Appleton had last week with us is that we took way too many touches on the ball to get the ball forward. And they definitely didn't do that. They passed the ball so well. They're well drilled. Broke in behind us quite a few times. But I can't criticise any of our players, really. I'd say like CBT, Campbell, Lee Byrne were a bit quiet and they couldn't get into the game as much as we'd hoped. But you just think the rest of the team, I think the whole of the back four, I thought, got stuck in. So it was a really... We can take so much from that performance yesterday. And I'm so pleased we got that goal. Whether we warranted it or not, I don't know. But as I said, with the penalty shout and Dobbo at the end there, you could argue we did deserve it. But yeah, what a strange game. Like, you thought that Tottenham-Chelsea game had stuff in it. We had nearly everything in that game, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, George saying on the comments there reminded me of QPR away a few years back. And funnily enough, that's what a couple of us were saying in the press box after the game yesterday. It was very, very similar to that. Whether we deserved it, it's a really interesting point from Ben there. Because, I mean, obviously the stats are scrolling along the bottom of the screen. They had plenty of shots on targets, plenty of corners. They were the team on top. I think in either half we had a spell. So after weathering a bit of a storm in the first half, we had a good 5-10 minutes, didn't we, where Lee Byrne hit one sort of towards the near post that went over. Alfie May forced a really good save out of the goalkeeper. But then obviously they had their goal. I thought we were quiet until half time. Second half, they were running the show for the first 15-20 minutes. And thanks to the goalkeeper, Ashley, that we were still in it. But then we just sort of turned it on and the goal we scored was very good. And then, yeah, it would have been very interesting to see what would have happened if we hadn't immediately conceded. I mean, let's talk about Ashley's performance yesterday. As Ben's alluded to there, Lewis, I thought he was excellent. And I think the fact he had played so well probably actually played a part in the way he gave away that penalty, because he was having a good game. He was full of adrenaline. He wanted to be proactive and he just made that decision at the wrong time to come off his line, and then he had no choice but to, you know, wipe out Paddy Lane. And it was such a clear and obvious penalty that even Terry said, well, that might be a penalty, that one.
It must be bad if Terry said it should be a pen. It was, yeah, look, I thought he was excellent. Some of the saves he made were outstanding, and getting the train home yesterday with lots of Portsmouth fans, I was sort of overhearing conversations. They were full of praise for how good he was and maybe how disappointing they were in their own goalkeeper for being beaten at the near post twice. Look, you know, we know what Ash has got in quality. When he came through and played more regularly last season when we lost Woollacott to injury, we were all kind of like really, really cheerleading him to come in and do well. And I think we saw some solid performances from him last season. Obviously still quite young and quite erratic at times, which I think that's the streak that we saw yesterday when he did give away that penalty. He did something similar in the first half, sort of coming off his line and covering the defender and put the ball out for the throw, which is fine. And it's not something I've seen from him overly regularly. So it's something I wonder whether Stephen Henderson started coaching into him, whether he's been encouraged to come off his line and cover a little bit more with the back four because of some of the defensive frailties that we've had, whether they're asking Ash to be a little bit more, present in that back line and coming out of his goal. First half, fine. Second half, yeah. I mean, it was that adrenaline from the May equaliser, as you say. I thought at that point we were having a really good spell, and it felt like we could have kicked on and gone on and maybe got ourselves ahead. So it was very disappointing that we gave away that penalty so quickly after equalising. It felt like we'd done all the hard work and then undone it all completely within a matter of minutes. But yeah, I think he knew, didn't he, that he'd made the error. As Benji said, he sort of just walked off to his goal, sort of head down, got in, and then you cover Bishop makes no mistake, does he? But it was great. I thought it was great character all round. And I mean, some of the saves that he made against, you know, Colby Bishop, who's probably one of the best strikers in the division up there with Alfie. I thought he played fantastic yesterday, Ash Maynard-Brewer. And also a little nod to the back line as well, because we've been very critical of them over the season at times. And as Benji alluded to, I thought yesterday they played much better. I thought Jones was absolutely outstanding. And I thought Hector looked a bit more solid as well.
Yeah. So
there's definite positives to take.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I mentioned Heck, because I think until the last maybe 25 minutes where things got a little bit stretched at times and we did give up a couple of chances and he missed a cross coming out, I was thinking, you know, he's having the sort of game that we want to see more from him. You know, obviously we know he can pass. That's what we know. It's more about concentration and defending the box, which particularly in the first half, you know, did we actually give up many chances in the first half? Probably not. Second half we did. That's where we are vulnerable still in stages, but it was an improved performance. One other defensive heroic, so I didn't even notice until I watched it back on the highlights this morning. So when Heck did miss that cross and it came to Bishop at the far post, and he looked to just look from where we were in the press box, I was like, oh, I can't believe he's missed that. He's put it wide from about a yard out, but then the referee did give a corner, so someone must have touched it. And you watch back, Tanai Watson with this amazing last ditch block, and you don't see this enough. He actually celebrated it like he'd scored a goal. I was like, yeah, with a little fist punch. So that was a great moment as well. Yeah, I mean, Stuart saying Ashley is building a solid relationship with the back line after having a good run of games between the sticks. I still think it was harsh that he got dropped by Dean Holden. Obviously, Dean was trying anything at that point. And, you know, obviously, it's a shame with what's happened to Harry. But I'm glad that Ashley's getting his chance in between the sticks again. Patrick saying that save in the second half was world class. What a game he had. Just makes the number one spot more of a headache for Apple. So I think it maybe makes it easier considering how well he's done over the last few weeks. Stuart saying we seem to have developed a battling never give up spirit, which was, yeah, I think evident yesterday. Obviously, it's certainly questioned below the first team, and I do ask that about Michael to Michael when we preview the Cray game, so we'll hear that in the interview later on. I mean, everyone wants us to talk about Alfie May, of course. So every time that Michael shifts Alfie May into a different position, so we've seen him drop into the 10 role, and I was like, oh, God, he's not going to be in front of goal, still scoring goals, don't matter. Now we've seen him play out wide. He got shifted out wide after the substitutions were made in the second half yesterday. I was like, oh no, he's not going to be as involved there. And now he can score from out wide as well, Ben. Like, is there anything he can't do? Charlton fans saying 12 goals in 15 games. It's amazing. Like, we only paid $250 for him. That's going under the radar. Is there anything that Alfie May can't do? Honestly, sticking him in goal would still get a couple, wouldn't he?
Just his attitude, his first.
Oh, have we lost Ben there? Or have I lost?
I can't hear him either.
Yeah, Ben, we've lost your microphone there. I'm not sure what's happened there. But I would presume he was going to say that that Alfie May is world class. Now he's gone. You're going to have to reset, Ben. So, Lewis, I'll ask you to speak about Alfie May then while Ben tries to reset his microphone.
Yeah, I think, as Ben was saying there, I don't think there's anything that the guy can't do. You know, his attitude and his determination is world class. Like, he, when you see in the first half, and one of the things I said on Thursday was that we'd be looking for leadership, like we'd be looking for leaders on the pitch against a side like Portsmouth. And what I saw from Alfie, especially in the first half when Portsmouth were shooting towards the away fans, was every time we sort of gave up a chance or something looked a little bit frail, he was over and he was sort of giving instructions, barking orders at everybody. And that's what you want to see, and that's from your number nine. You know, look, he got shifted out wide, and I was saying to Peacock, I was like, I can't, is he going to be effective out there? Are we having to sort of push people into positions that aren't overly natural? Is that going to suit Alfie? We've seen it with him playing in the number 10 and playing really well. And yeah, yesterday went out wide and caused all sorts of headaches at Portsmouth, got his goal as well, which I thought he took really well. And yeah, I mean, just everything, he's been the perfect signing so far, hasn't he? He really has. Like, he's a really likable character, really, really likable character. And he's going to be very, very popular among the fan base. And yeah, I think we're really, really lucky to have him. And as the guy said there in the comments, I think he's been an absolute steal for us so far.
Yeah, I mean, A. Saunders says, I thought May's work rate and the fact he scored and played three different positions just tipped him for man of the match. But I've got to agree with the Teo Eden comment, which was further up in the chat. Who'd have thought a left-back playing at left-back would work? Yeah, see, funnily enough, in the first half, I was expressing some concern that he was getting beat by Paddy Lane quite a few times. Going forward, you know, I think we've seen that Teo's obviously got something about him. You know, defensively, we'll still see as he grows into the role. It's easy to forget, we ain't actually seen much of him yet. Should we try and ask Ben what he thinks of Teo Eden? Let's share. What were you going to say, Ben? Nothing. No, he's not going to say anything. Right. I'm going to kick Ben out of the studio, and then try restarting, Ben, and then you can come back. It's easier to do that offline. Yeah, Teo, what did you make of him, Lou?
He was a person yesterday that I actually came away really, really impressed with. I was speaking to my friend that I went with, and he regularly kept turning to me and saying he's having a great game. And I agree with you. I think defensively he can be caught out at times. But he did make some really, really key tackles, especially like sort of right in front of us in the first half. And I saw him drifting a lot. And I don't know if that's something he's been asked to do. And you'd assume it would be because he was sort of being... I think I saw Rich Corley tweet this. I kept seeing him popping up in the middle and so far from his sort of natural position. But he was very effective wherever he ended up. I thought on a day where Corey had a really quiet game, I thought Teo made up for it in terms of the creativity on that left-hand side. And yeah, as you say, that he's been out for a little while recently. He's had his injury. He's come back from that. He obviously played against Cray last Sunday. And I was a bit surprised to see him come straight in. I didn't know sort of how fit he would be. So it was great for him yesterday to get through that game and also put in a good performance because I think he did play really well. And on the defensive side, I suppose, as he plays more minutes and gets more settled in a settled back line, that sort of stuff will become, you know, a little bit more second nature to him. And maybe we'll see that defensive side of his game improve slightly because I think what he brought attacking-wise was very, very good.
Right, one last chance for Ben, so hopefully this will fix it. Martin's asking how we didn't get a penalty yesterday. So the shot from Alfie May, I've seen the replay, so it's hard to tell if it's in the penalty area on initial viewing, so that's partly it. But he did have his hand out, didn't he, Ben? So it could well have been a penalty. No. Right, okay. Sorry, Ben, I don't know what's going on. You might have to restart your laptop or something. This is... the danger of live broadcast these days, unfortunately. So, but Lewis, you get to take all of the questions now. Should it be a penalty?
it's difficult to see from where I was. I've not seen the replay yet, but there was a fairly decent shout, I think. And when you see everyone on the pitch react the way they do, I think it sort of tells a real story. I thought the officials yesterday had a pretty poor game. I don't like to be the sort of person that comes on and criticises officials. You know, I don't want to be a Terry Smith in this situation. But I thought the linesman was really poor on our side. That was sort of on the left of the away fans. I thought he had a shocking game. I mean, first half, he was absolutely appalling. And then second half, he was so lenient to them in the first half. I thought, oh, we're going to have an absolute stormer here. And it's like he remembered where his flag was second half. And yeah, it didn't feel like anything was going to go our way yesterday, decision-wise. So it did go, you know, it showed that character. We got back into it from pure, you know, just fight and ability, which is fantastic. We were getting no favours yesterday from the officials. But yeah, difficult to see. I'd like to look back and see if it was a pen, but I don't think we would have, you know, thrown ourselves about quite as much if we weren't convinced it was a penalty.
Yeah, I mean, both Dean... James said they thought it was a penalty. Sam saying he thought that Lloyd Sam was immense. Keith, yeah, fair to point out, Corey wasn't really in the game yesterday. Miles also quiet for much of the game. I think that's fair. You know, not going to get the greatest performance from Corey every week because I always say that I think winger is the most inconsistent position on the pitch and especially Corey, yeah, looked quite quiet yesterday. Right, shall we hear from Michael Appleton? Spoke to the Addicts boss after yesterday's game. These are his thoughts on the 2-2 draw down at Portsmouth.
Point here at Portsmouth, what did you make of it today?
we lived through a lot of things today, didn't we? Listen, they come out of the blocks really quickly in that first sort of 5 minutes. I thought we dealt with it then, and I thought we had the better moments in the first half. I thought it was a close game, and we should have done better with some of the opportunities that we had. And then, look, let's face it, we had to defend really, really well for 25 minutes in that second half, and they put us under the cosh. The really, really pleasing thing for me is they didn't go under the players. It's so easy to go under in them moments when you're coming to a side, top of the league, haven't been beaten in God knows how many games, haven't lost a game here since March or whatever it is. It's so easy to go under. Yes, you need your goalkeeper to make some saves. Absolutely, of course you do. That's part and parcel of the game. And he made some brilliant saves. But it was more the stuff that was going on in front of him as well that pleased me. You know, we had to get blocks. They were very, very dangerous from set plays. We knew that before the game. The record from set plays this season is superb. So a lot of things that I've probably not seen as much over the first sort of 2 to 3 months I've been at the football club. I've seen a lot of great attacking play and good finishing and giving a lot of credit to the players for doing them type of things, but I thought tonight we did the other side of it really well.
If there's anyone who sort of personified the performance as well, recovering from setbacks, it's probably Conor McGrandles, who hasn't had the most enjoyable start to his Charlton career, but a great moment for him right at the end.
Absolutely, and you know, I just had a joke then. I don't know how many headers he scored, but it's not many. You know, Conor did pitch him with a few goals when we worked at Lincoln together, but you know, he'll give you honesty, and he'll keep going, and he'll arrive in the opposition's box, and he'll arrive in our box making tackles. Yes, there are times probably when I want a little bit more for him from a quality point of view, but I think them come when you get minutes on the pitch, and clearly, like you've just mentioned, he's not had the minutes, so he's behind from that point of view, but he'll be looking to get as much minutes as he can now between now and the turn of the year.
You mentioned the performance of Ashley Maynard Brewer, so I guess blighted by the penalty he gave away, but over the 90 minutes he would have been very pleased with his display.
Yeah, and typical Ash, he's gutted in the changing rooms because he's disappointed for giving the penalty away, but you know, you have to remind him sometimes. He made three excellent saves before that, almost at point blank range, and we're thankful for that. And you know, that's why, you know, at this moment in time, he's in the place that he's in, and that's why he gets called up to Australia every time there's an international. So we know the quality he's got, we know what he's capable of, and I'm just glad he was right at it today.
You mentioned after the game with Bolton that Charlton so far in the season as a whole haven't taken a great deal of points off teams near the top of the table. Is this something that could be used as a catalyst to try and make that step up to the next level?
I hope so, but as I just touched on them, the TV stuff, you know, I want to be in a position where, and whether this is after one window or two windows, where we're coming to places like this and dominating the game, and people are looking at me and think I'm stupid, but you know, I've made them type of comments early in my career at other clubs and previous clubs and been able to do it. So yeah, I'd like to think over a period of time we can't just come to places like Pompey and compete and get a point. We can come in and win the game.
Charlton's record here is ridiculous, and it doesn't really make any sense because it's a different team that plays every year, but could that have played a part in what happened at the end there? Just give the side a bit of relief, make Portsmouth nervous because they have such bad luck against Charlton?
Well, I suppose you have to ask the Portsmouth sort of lads in the bench and their team, but it was something that was mentioned before the game, and obviously myself, I've got a decent record here myself as an away manager as well, so I think it's like anything in any game of football, if there's only one goal in it, especially when you've got players on the pitch like obviously Miles Leeburn, Corey Blackett-Taylor, Alfie May, these type of players, you've got half a chance, and that's the thing. You know what you can't do to places like here is go two behind. If you go two behind, obviously you're in a bit of trouble because the crowd get behind them and they end up sucking the ball in the goal. But what happened today is we had brilliant support behind that goal and they end up sucking the ball into the back of the goal for us.
Obviously, just a very quick question on the turnaround now to Cray. Obviously, decisions to be made again about what sort of side will go there, how many changes you can make. There's a lot to think about and not a great deal of time to do it as well.
No, but, you know, it was one of the last things I sort of touched on in the dressing room because, you know, we need to go there on Wednesday and get a job done, and that will be our mentality and attitude. We've got quite a few players missing for the game, which is disappointing, but not in a certain sense of disappointment. There's not a lot we can do about it, but it's just how it is. But the lads will be ready come Wednesday. There'll be a focus to us on Wednesday, and you know, I'd like to think that come Wednesday we'll make sure that we get the job done and do it a little bit better than we did last week.
The spirit you saw today, will you be perhaps saying to some of the players who didn't play today but might have done on Wednesday that that's what you need to show to get into the first team?
100%, yeah, and that's the point. I was trying to be really diplomatic on Sunday. I was trying to not be too hard on the players that played. I was trying to, you know, not kill them off. But the reality is, you know, they have to be able to deal with them type of situations, because what chance am I going to get if I have to put them on in a game like today and deal with that type of situation? So that's the harsh realities of football, and I think they know it now.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello fellow addicts, I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, the River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your match day routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Well, welcome back to Charlton Live. Just for the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Michael Appleton. I've started off a furious debate about Lloyd Sam in the comments. Apparently I said Lloyd Sam instead of Lloyd Jones, which was a nice blast from the past. ND Miller saying, I wonder how good Mickey Apple's record at Fratton Park really is. So I did look it up before the game. So before yesterday, I think he'd played five times there as an opposition manager. 1-2, lost 2, drawn 1. So now it's obviously... 1-2, lost 2, drawn 2. So feels not, is that a good record? It's not too bad away at Fratton Park, I guess, because you're in Portsmouth for a decent enough side. Right, we're going to try Ben one more time. He's restarted everything. I'll ask you the question, Ben. I bet it doesn't work, but yeah, it doesn't look good. about what I asked Michael about, you know, again, referencing us in comparison to teams at the top of League One, Portsmouth, you know, and I think he's been very realistic about where we actually are as a side. He's spoken a lot about January, and again, he reiterated, you know, he, in a couple of windows' time, he wants to be the sort of team that could go to a Portsmouth and actually play a bigger part in the game than we did. You know, we came away with a great 2-2 draw, but there were large spells where we were under the cosh. He wants to go and dominate. So I think Michael's quite realistic about where we are as a team, Ben, and we're not very realistic about where you are as a man with a microphone, but we're going to try it anyway. No, right, he's gone. Right, we're kicking him out, and he's never coming back. Sorry, Lewis, your reaction to that question I just gave to Ben.
Yeah, I think you're right, and what Mickey Apple says is, you know, it's fairly bang on. I think, you know, he always seems to reference about sort of getting to that position after a couple of windows, which, you know, he obviously came into the club after the window had closed, hasn't really been able to sort of bring in his style. And I know he's obviously been very critical of some players in our squad. And I think that's our biggest Achilles heel, really, is that when you're looking at our squad, and I think I said this Thursday, you've got a really, really good 11. When everyone's fit, you've got a fantastic starting 11. Then you start looking at options on the bench and you start to struggle a little bit. I mean, the bench yesterday, I was a bit concerned if we had to bring on a player to try and change something on an attacking an attacking side of things. We only really had like Tedditch and we had Scotty Fraser, and now Conor McGrandles apparently is going to be that goal scoring midfielder. But I think it's going to be really interesting, not just from Michael's side, but also from the ownership side in January, what we do, because we're still very much, as weird as it may seem, we're in with a chance of getting a top six spot. You know, I think I referenced Thursday that the division's very weak this year. It doesn't feel great, given that we've had spells where we've been quite poor and we're still sort of, 5 points off of the top six at the moment. It's still very much in reach. So if we go on a bit of a run, and I saw a comment there saying we've got a really big December in terms of games that we may see as winnable on paper. If we go on a bit of a run and we do end up being within touching distance or in that top six, what will we see from the ownership in terms of investment for Michael to strengthen in there? Because that will be the time where we make up for lost ground. If we make some strong signings that suit Michael's way of playing, suit Michael's attitude and you know, show more of that fighting spirit that we saw yesterday, then we could be in with a real chance. But that's going to come from whether we see it upstairs or not, isn't it?
Certainly. Right, we had an email from Moses Says an excellent result for us in the grand scheme of things against top of the league. People in the away end who booed McGrandles when he came on, I hope they hang their head in shame. Always support the team regardless. Tyo Eden back in the squad was a breath of fresh air. Hopefully we can mount a playoff push in the second half of the season. That's certainly what we're all hoping for. As reference there by Lewis, I mean, Sam says we're one good centre-back away from the playoffs, which is, I mean, it'd be interesting to see how far away Michael thinks we are, because obviously, like I say, he's referenced it. A. Saunders again said he thought Ashley commanded his box really well yesterday, so much that he's given away the penalty. Blinding draw for us, though. Always a proper football match at Fratton Park up the Charlton Live. James is saying, Lloyd Sam was massively underrated, super consistent for about two decades now. Age hasn't stopped him, has it, Lloyd Sam? I wonder what he's up to these days. Is he still playing? Did he go out and play in America or something? Maybe, who knows? John saying he thought that Corey tends to play better at home. We've spoken about Conor McGrandles. Let's hear from him, shall we? He came and spoke to me after yesterday's game, after his last-minute equaliser. Let's have a listen to what he had to say.
Congratulations, it's a great moment for you personally. Does it feel like your moment, you finally arrived as a champ player?
Yeah, I think so. A really good moment. I think it was more important because it got the team a point. It's not just like for me having a good moment for myself. Good to get the point because it's a tough place to come.
Yeah, how big is that point today?
Yeah, really big, especially being a goal down twice. To come back at a place like this on the run that they're on, like at this stadium, it's real tough. So, really, really pleased. Really pleased, and hopefully we can take it to Wednesday.
Yeah, just going into those last few moments, is that just a case of midfielder make that gamble towards the far post and hope something comes your way?
Yeah, initially I made the run to give the space to Tail to get the ball. I seen him behind me, so I thought if I was there, he wouldn't be able to get the ball. So I made the run, and then when Tail gets the ball there, I know he's got the ability to stick it where he wants it, and he's played a brilliant ball, to be fair. And then late run, bullet header, unstoppable, wasn't it?
Nice to get that moment in front of the Addicts fans as well. We probably overall haven't really got to see much from you, really, because you've had so much time out of the side.
Yeah, I know. Really good. I've not had many moments like that in my career, like last-minute goals for myself. So, really good for myself. Really good for them to have that moment to like celebrate. Really good for the team.
I hope that'll be the catalyst now to make strides to get back into the side more often now that you're fit again.
Yeah, I hope so. Obviously, I need to keep myself fit, which has been tough the last year and a half. And if I do that, you know, I believe in myself. I know it's going to be really difficult because there's a lot of good players in midfield position. So it's not is it a case of me being fit and just scoring a goal and backing the team. It's well off that, you know. I need to do well every day, and then any chance I get, I need to take it.
And a bit of a boost, obviously, having the new manager come in who you've played so well with at Lincoln as well.
Yeah, real boost. Obviously, I know how he works. He knows like my kind of strength, so it kind of works well. Really glad he's here, because not just for me, I know like how good he is with all the other players. I know how much he'll improve the players, so it's like it's just a real big boost for everyone.
There we go, brief chat with Conor McGrandles after yesterday's game. It is a big moment for him personally. You know, we love a redemption arc at Charlton. You know, Naby Sarr was obviously referenced the other day when we were talking about Charlie Kirk and whether he can come back from where he is currently. But, you know, a moment like that for Conor, I mean, he's got to use it as a chance to try and kick on. I think it's easy to forget how little we've seen of him. He started two league games for us. You know, he hasn't impressed. Like I think he admits that himself. He's had eight substitute appearances as well. But, you know, maybe this can be a moment for him to kick on, especially with a manager that he knows, Lewis.
Yeah, I think so. I think what will be interesting is to see how he reacts now after doing that. You know, it's easy to come in and get that sort of last-minute goal when everyone's going singing your praises, but he's got to follow it up. And I think it'll be a test of his sort of attitude. We spoke about some of the players, the fringe players' attitudes and them coming into question on Thursday's show. We've seen one of those fringe players come on at the weekend and make that impact. Let's see where he can kick on, because ultimately, you know, Charlton fans are gonna get behind him if he puts in that application and shows a good attitude and starts putting in performances. It will be good to see how he does that under a manager he's worked with previously. And it sounds like he played some of his better football under Appleton at Lincoln, but there has to be a player in there somewhere. Because, you know, even with us last season, we didn't see much of him. We loaned him out to Cambridge, and Cambridge were absolutely desperate to keep him beyond the end of his loan spell. So there has to be a player in there. It's just finding him that place in the side and getting him that consistent run of minutes. And like, I'm really happy for him yesterday. You know, it was a great moment in front of the fans. I think he didn't really know what to do in terms of celebrating. But look, it sounds like, you know, I thought he came across really well in his interview. And I think that it'll be good now to see how he kicks on personally from here. Because as I say, you can get, you know, we referenced maybe Charlie Kirk as an example, his application and stuff on Thursday. He scored a fair amount of goals for us, but still hasn't really got it. So just because he scored yesterday isn't automatically going to revive his Charlton career. He's got to show the attitude to build on that as a player. And it'll be, you know, good for us if he does. And I'm sure he will, because it sounds like he wants to come in and make a difference. And working with someone like Appleton who knows him can only help that.
Yeah, a lot was made of his celebration yesterday. From where I was in the press box, you couldn't see it. You know, it was just absolute chaos with a last minute equaliser. I was making sure I was tweeting and speaking on the radio, so I didn't really exactly see what happens. I'm not convinced he was purposely not. I heard him say something along the lines of, I just didn't know what to do yesterday. There were still a few games. He wanted to do something. There's like, no, I've still got to play. And I do think at the back of his mind, he knows, as he said in the interview with me yesterday, one goal doesn't change everything. He's not made it. So it would be he wasn't going to milk it too much, because he's still got lots of work to do to improve. Shiny Phil says, no one should be booing McGrandles. He's had a horrible run of luck. Let's not forget that Garner originally dropped Dobbo in favour of him. He's not a bad player. And yeah, you know, that's what we want to find out. You know, we haven't seen that in a Charlton shirt yet, but hopefully this will be the chance for him to do that. And we'll see. Stuart said, I think Appleton trying to instill the importance of putting in a shift of effort first and foremost. Right, let's bring in our guest fan. And it's a guest fan I've been looking forward to having on for a while, actually, because if you're a massive geek like me, then it's probably the best Twitter account to follow in the Charlton sphere. So this is Stuart Court, who joins us now as our guest fan this week. Stuart runs the CFC Facts and Stats account, which is my go-to account every Saturday morning, just to see if I've missed anything in my research. Good morning, Stuart. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Tell us, first of all, your thoughts on yesterday's game. What did you make of it? Anyone stand out for you that we haven't mentioned, perhaps?
Not really. I mean, I think it was two or three that were off yesterday. But everyone else put in a shift. And you just got to keep fighting to the end. And you get your gesture rewards, especially with that keeper. He deserved what was coming to him at the end.
Yeah, well, what was your, did you give him a bit of stick in that away end at full time yesterday, near post Norris getting beaten?
Yeah, nothing. Oh, I can't repeat on it, I'm afraid. but he's just scandalous. It was awful what he did. Awful.
Yeah. Yeah, and he got his comeuppance at the end, which was very enjoyable for everyone of a Charlton persuasion. So, I mean, I asked the question to Michael Appleton yesterday. Our record against teams in the top 10 hasn't been great this season, so I think there'll be, 6 points out of 21 now, I think, something along those lines. But it was a good point yesterday. Where do we sit in your mind in sort of the hierarchy in League One? Are we playoff contenders still? I mean, I guess as Lewis has referenced, that the league isn't the strongest this year, but I still think there's probably like a clear indication we're not quite at the top level. But I'm interested to see what you think.
At the start of the season, I thought we'd finish outside the playoffs, and at the moment I still think we will, unless something happens in January. I think we're a centre half short. We're definitely a left back short if Eden gets injured, because Thomas is filling a hole. We need a couple of decent defenders. And it also depends if Dobson or Blackett, say, or Lieber and get sold on in January. January's a massive month, and the owners will have to come up and see what happens to them. We can get there, but at the moment, I think we're short. We're just going to be short at the moment.
Yeah. Do you sort of believe that the owners will invest this January? Is that still something we don't really know, I guess, at this point?
We don't at the moment. I mean, if they've got any ambition, then yeah, they need to invest in a couple of defenders. And if they've got that ambition, they need to show it. But January is always a tricky month. Fees get inflated. We all know this. So it's up to them. I mean, it's entirely their decision. And if they've got any ambition, they've got to show what they want to do in January.
Yeah, Stuart, what have you made of Michael Appleton so far coming on? Obviously, we as a club made a change very early managerially with Dean. I think, you know, Appleton's come in and done fairly well. What have you made of him as Charlton manager so far?
He's made a fair start. Unfortunately, with all Charlton managers, they don't get long enough. They only don't even get a season these days. So he needs to be given time. So far, it's looking good. The effort yesterday was fantastic. But you need to see that every week. You can't see what he showed last Sunday, because that's not acceptable. So what we saw yesterday has to be done every week. And if he can get steal that into them and get them playing as they were, definitely towards the end, then yeah, I think he'd be fine.
Yeah. Paul's saying, as the old adage goes, if you dish it out, you need to be able to take it. Near post Norris love it. I'm glad that someone's come up with that nickname. It's very good. Paul also pointing out that your account is worth a follow, Stuart. I mean, tell us about how this came about, the CFC facts and stats. I mean, you've got a database, almost an encyclopedia of information stashed away somewhere on your computer that you share with us. I mean, how did it start? You're obviously a bit of a geek like me in that you enjoy statistical sort of stuff like that as well.
Yeah, started over 8 years ago now. I think I was just following the club's account on Twitter. I was putting a few things out of my personal account at the time and they were getting repeated. And I thought, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to start this off and give it a go. But it was the first year really difficult to do this on this day stuff. And once you get the first year out of the way, then it just kicks in and you've got the database then, as you just did. And then you can go from there. But yeah, I just love doing it. Every day I just love doing it. It gives me a little energy. I just love putting stuff out there.
I'm guessing in the background on your computer, you've got like hundreds of tables of information and stuff. Is there anything that's ever surprised you when you've gone through and found a stat? Like, you know, maybe if people didn't know about our record at Fratton Park, you'd be like, oh, that's a bit weird.
Yeah, I mean, that's just amazing, the record at Fratton Park. What's it about, 12 games, 10 wins, yesterday's draw and a defeat. I mean, the last 10 games against Portsmouth, we won 7 and they lost 1. So, yeah, we just got an amazing record out, against them. But, yeah, just in general, yeah. I mean, Grant was yesterday. I was working out the other day. He's the 550th different person to score for the club now. So it's stuff like that, you think, wow. I was working out the other day, and then, funny enough, he pops up and gets the goal yesterday. I thought, oh, that's good timing.
that is quite good as well. So, we're going to look ahead to the Cray Valley game shortly. It'd be interesting to hear your views on exactly how strong you think we should go. Obviously, we don't want a repeat of what we saw last Sunday, which was a bit of a disaster for us. But also, as Michael's alluded to in his interview there, obviously there's players who'd be going off on international duty that won't be available for us. So, what sort of team are you hoping that Michael Appleton will name for the cup tie on Wednesday?
For me, Manashi's away, so Sam Walker will go in goal. I'm guessing Hector's away, so Nessa come in. And I think that's it, really. I don't think there's anyone else that who played yesterday is away in international duty that started. So I'd start just the two changes. And then if we hopefully get a nice lead, around about 60 minutes, then drag 5 of them off. Drag your May and your Lee Burns off. And then bring the other players on then. But we've got to get the win for me and treat it, well, play the team yesterday bar those two that are probably going to be away in international duty.
I think it's quite important for momentum. You know, I think that was a real sort of bump in the road for those players not involved yesterday, but perhaps who were involved last Sunday. Because if you're one of those players who needs to really stake a claim, then obviously what happened on last Sunday wasn't good enough for you, and it can bring the club down. Like, we needed a performance like yesterday, I think, to react from that. Do you think that's fair, Stuart?
Yeah, very fair. Yeah. I mean, atmosphere behind the goal was just fantastic yesterday. Really, really good. And we needed a performance. You're spot on. We needed a performance after last Sunday. I know it's a different set of players, but it's still just, they have to train alongside each other day in, day out. So we needed that performance yesterday. And they've got to do it again Wednesday.
Certainly do. Right, well, Stuart, look, it's been a pleasure having you on as our guest fan. I recommend everyone follows your CFC Facts and Stats account. You get some really good information on there. Stuart, thanks for your time. And yeah, cheers for joining us on Charlton Live.
Thank you.
There we go. That's Stuart Court, who was this week's guest fan on Charlton Live. And as we started to allude to there, Lewis, got a look ahead to the game at Cray on Wednesday. Obviously, it's on TV. There's less than 300 tickets floating about, so it will be a hassle to get for a lot of fans. So, but at least it's on TV to watch, and hopefully this time it won't be a massive embarrassment like it was last Sunday.
Yeah, let's hope so, eh? I think it's pretty important, to be honest. I think that we come back and we show a bit of a positive attitude and we try and put that game to bed. You know, it was obviously a real disappointing moment for the football club last Sunday, the way that not just the result, but the attitude behind that performance. So I think it's quite important that off the back of such a positive result and performance yesterday that we go and do something. As Stuart said, it's going to be interesting to see how we line up, because I don't know if all the international players will be away. So you lose your Hector, Thomas, Caroy Anderson, potentially Ash. So it's quite, you know, they're all positions that we need to fill. So it'd be interesting to see what we do there. I'd be quite surprised if Tayo played again, as just because of fitness. So who will play at left back? Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how we line up. But I agree with Stuart. I think we need to try and put out a stronger side, get the job done, really.
Yeah, I mean, all hell let loose is saying, well, Thomas is away, so Tayo might have to be ready for 90 minutes. But yeah, I don't know if there's anyone they might try and squeeze in. Obviously, we've seen Simway or Watson play at left back once, didn't they? So all hell let loose is asking if I've got a ticket. I'm not actually sure. I assume so. I assume I'll get booked in, but you never know with... I mean, Cray Valley really don't have a press box. Like, I've been there before. You may remember under Carl Robinson, we played Greenwich Borough in a pre-season friendly, and we went there, and there's basically a desk for about three people. So I'm hoping they'll just give me access so I can do my job when we get there. But I will literally be reporting on the mobile phone. Like, there's no ISDN lines or anything there, but we'll see. Otherwise, I'll be doing it from home, but I'm hoping I'll be there. Fingers crossed. We can't have a repeat of what happened on Sunday, Lewis. I think that's the obvious thing, because I mean, we said it in the preview before the game last weekend that it is a momentum killer and it does bring everyone down and it does have people asking questions that we just don't really want to have to ask at this point, because you know we want to try and remember that we're not on a bad run of form in the league, and there has been an uplift since Michael's come in, and we just don't need the distraction of getting knocked out by, you know, with all due respect, an eighth tier team.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think as we said, last Sunday was a bit of a bump in the road, and so far, as you say, under Appleton, it's been pretty positive. I think the fact that we responded yesterday, obviously it was a very different team that was put out, but as a club we responded on the whole, so that was good, and we showed what we lacked on Sunday we showed in bundles yesterday. So I think it's important that we go into that game, we don't underestimate it, because they're going to be up for it. You know, it's a great occasion for them to take it to a replay in the first place, but also to have it at their place, so they're going to be right up for it. It's going to be on TV again, so we need to try and get the job done and go into the international break on the back of a positive, you know, getting into the hat for the second round of the FA Cup and off of a positive performance against Portsmouth yesterday.
Right. Don't forget, we're going to end slightly early because it's Remembrance Sunday, and obviously there will be a minute silence at 11 o'clock. So we'll be out of the way in a few minutes' time. But actually, we have got a couple of minutes just to speak about All Hell Let Loose. You know, has asked the question, is it a case of keeping players in January or signing new players, which is more important? So obviously, as we referenced in Michael's interview there, he spoke about the January transfer window. I guess it doesn't have to be one or the other, but I mean, it would be very difficult if, for example, we lost some of our bigger flair players who'd be more likely to be at risk of leaving, like Corey, you know, or maybe Dobbo's in the last year of his contract. But at the same time, there are areas of the field that I feel like we could still improve to be more consistent. You know, yesterday, defensively, I thought we were good, but overall, we haven't been consistent in that that position. So which is more important to you, Lewis, keeping players or signing new ones?
Difficult, because as you said, there are people that we absolutely have to keep. You know, Dobson is so critical for this football club, so trying to retain George Dobson and get him signed up to a new contract, I think, is key. Corey as well, I think he's one of the most creative players in the division, if not the most creative player in the division. They're important players for us, and they're the sorts of players you don't want to see move on, because I think that if we come off the back of a positive December and positive results where both of those players have been performing well, it puts a negative impact on it, and it puts a real dent in any hopes, unless you're replacing like for like. But you won't sign a George Dobson or a Corey Blackett-Taylor like for like, really, I don't think. So I think it's key we keep people like that. Miles as well, I think he's important. Yes, he was quiet yesterday and has had a few quieter performances this season on the whole. didn't really get a pre-season, but is very, very good for us. You know, he's a really well-liked player, popular player, and is playing a lot of football. So I'd like to see him stay. But there are also players that I think need to move on and be replaced with better quality to give us that depth on the bench. So we, when we are in games, if we are struggling, we've got someone on the bench to change it and try and improve a system where at the moment, as you said, I think that's where we lack, especially defensively. I think if either any of our defenders get injured at the moment, then we're very, very short in that area.
Yeah, I mean, Stuart says if they show ambition, it will be to help Dobbo and Corey to sign new contracts at our clubs. Michael said that that's what I thought when he said about bringing players in. You should be concentrating on keeping Dobbo and Corey, which is, a good point. Right, we're going to end it there. Like I say, Remembrance Sunday, a minute silence coming up at 11 o'clock. So we're going to get out of your hair just a few minutes early. Just a reminder, so we've got Cray Valley Paper Mills on Wednesday. Because I wasn't expecting a replay, and therefore I just thought we were going to have an international break, I've made plans for Thursday, so no show on Thursday. Maybe a look back at the Cray Valley game on Friday, just a short little one, but we'll keep you updated on our social media when we're next going to be on. We won't be on this time next Sunday because it is international break, so we won't have a Saturday game to look back at. So maybe back on Friday. If not, it'll be the Thursday, the week after, to look ahead to Carlisle, which is coming up. It's coming on as quick, isn't it? That's going to be a long day, which I'm really looking forward to, though. Massive thanks to everyone who's joined us on the show this morning. Everyone in the live chat or caught up via our YouTube channel or via our podcast afterwards. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and to wherever you get the podcast as well, so you can hear us every week. Big thanks to Stuart Court, who was this week's guest fan. A big thanks to Benji Cloak, who put in a 20-minute performance, like, you know, the sort of stuff we sort of used to seeing every week. Actually, we only play for half the game, don't we? So Ben's done a lovely impression of that for us today. Lewis, who's lasted the full 90 minutes, thanks for your time. Lou, good to speak to you.
No worries, mate. Cheers.
Yeah, so I'm Louis Meadows. Thanks for listening to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We shall see you when we see you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.